Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. Today with us, we have Mark Wagner. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Mark, I think we've known each other for approximately 25 years.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
25, 30 years, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is my 25th season hunting in Calhoun.
Yeah.
And so...
I met you when you first came to the area.
Yeah, yeah. And you were with the Department of Natural Resources. What was your position in 2001?
I was just a conservation officer.
Okay.
Working primarily Jersey and Calhoun counties.
Okay. And how long did you was your career with the DNR?
27 years.
Okay. All right. And then through the DNR, you had multiple promotions. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I just had one promotion, but the last 10 years of my career, I was the district supervisor over 9 counties, basically going from Macoupin, Jersey, Calhoun, north, all the way up to Hancock County. So I had all the major deer counties and major outfitters in my district.
Okay. All right. Are you calling us a major outfitter?
This is the major deer country in the area.
Absolutely. What got you involved with the DNR? How did you decide that career path?
Well, it was a roundabout. I grew up in South Calhoun down in Golden Eagle and grew up hunting small game, squirrels, rabbits, quail, dove. Really didn't have any big game back then. If you saw a deer or turkey, that was something just to see it or even to see a track. Back when I was growing up in the late 70s, early 80s. By the late 80s, early 90s, that's when things kind of start taking off. Deer started showing up, turkey started showing up, and it really got big then after that. But when I graduated high school, I'm like most kids, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I first thought about avionics and going into the Marine Corps, and that field wasn't available at the time. I ended up going into the Marine Corps Reserve.
Okay.
I did my boot camp. I did my MOS training. I came back home, and then it was like, now what? So me and one of my buddies, we went around putting applications in for different jobs, not having any luck. I was home one day. And on the kitchen table was a booklet for Lewis and Clark Community College. So I started flipping through it, and I saw criminal justice, and I thought, I always wanted to be a game warden. I love being in the outdoors. I love hunting. And I thought that's something that I could do. So I started going to Lewis and Clark. My mom, everybody knows her, Pinky. She owned the Apple Blossom, and I started working for her as I was going to college. And then I was doing my weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer in the reserves. And so after 2 years, I graduated from Lewis and Clark with an associate's degree in criminal justice. And then I went to Sangamon State University in Springfield, which is now University of Illinois. Got my bachelor's degree in a year and a half, and then started working on my master's degree while I was going through the hiring process to become a conservation officer.
Oh, wow.
So fortunately, I got it the first time around. I got hired the first time because a lot of guys went 2 or 3 times in the hiring process before they got hired. So I went through the police academy, passed that, went through the conservation academy, and halfway through that, my unit got activated, and I had to go to Desert Shield, Desert Storm.
Okay.
So I took a little detour there, and then once I come back, I started my conservation career. And started in Lake County, up north of Cook County on the Wisconsin border, and got to do a lot of interesting things up there.
Okay. Different type of folk up there.
Different type of folk, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
I ran into some people, believe it or not, from down in this area.
Okay.
It was unbelievable. We'd be out patrolling, and sure enough, I'd run into somebody from Beardstown, and I did run into somebody from Jersey County.
Wow.
They called in a complaint, and... It's like, I think I know you.
How'd you end up here?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome, man. So with the love of the outdoors. You're passionate. What are your species? What are your things that you like to hunt the best?
Turkey hunting's probably the most exciting.
I know.
I love turkey hunting.
Okay.
But I also love to duck hunt and deer hunt. And I don't get to upland game hunt much anymore, but turkey hunting is probably my favorite. There's something about sitting out there and getting that gobbler going and him come strutting in. There's nothing like it. So
I lose my mind every time. If it's you, if I'm calling for you, we got a great chance of getting a bird. If it's me, it's the turkey curse.
Yes.
And it's been noticed. Cole was on here. We were talking about it. I just have this turkey curse. And it makes me want it that much more. Out of state, for some reason, I leave Illinois. Very little tag soup here in Illinois. I don't know what my deal is, but man, turkeys are fun.
I go in stretches. It seems like I kill for several years in a row. I kill some nice birds, and then all of a sudden I go on a little streak where I don't kill one for 1 or 2 years in a row. And that's okay. It's all about the hunt and the excitement. And I got a buddy that I've hunted with now for probably 30 years, and that's our little hunting trip every year.
Okay.
Hunting here in Illinois, and just really enjoy it. We used to crappie fish in the afternoon, and now that we get older, we have to take naps.
Right. Oh, man. So, Mark, you were recently in the paper. What? Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I'm on the Jersey County Board. I'm vice chair, and we received an email from Alton Works wanting, it was in early July, they were wanting us to come to a meeting, and they were wanting to give a proposal on a national park.
Okay.
And the meeting was supposed to be held in late August. So Gary Krueger, who's the chairman of Jersey County Board, and myself, we went to this meeting, and several other public officials were at that meeting. But I noticed like Calhoun wasn't there, and I thought that was kind of odd because this involves Calhoun County. Mm-hmm. Didn't see anybody there from St. Charles County, and a huge portion of this land is in St. Charles County. But anyway, we went to this meeting, and they gave their proposal. We listened, and a few of us injected what we thought of it. So not all of it was totally bad. I mean, there was some in Alton that involved the Alton Riverfront that looks promising to me, but I'm not an official in Alton, and that should be up to the Alton officials where they think that's a good fit for them.
Right.
But when it came to Calhoun and Jersey, I was totally opposed to it right off the bat and told them that, along with Amy Alec. She was at that meeting.
Okay.
And the Grafton mayor, Mike Morrow, he was there. And the mayor of Portage de Sioux in Missouri, he also was opposed to it.
Okay.
So there was four people at that meeting. We pretty much told them right off the bat we were opposed to it.
Okay. So what, a little bit more about, they want to make a national park along the Mississippi River.
So they want to take 135,000 acres of land between Illinois and Missouri.
Okay.
Most of it is in Missouri. It's 90,000 acres, but 45,000 is here in Illinois. Most of that 45,000 is in Calhoun and Jersey. There is some of it that's in Madison County.
Okay.
But it basically involves Two Rivers Refuge. It involves the Mississippi River area, and it involves Pierre Marquette State Park.
Okay.
So that's what we're most concerned with.
So they want to take our state park. I think it's the largest state park in Illinois.
It is.
And combine it with a bunch of land.
They want to combine state property, fish and wildlife property, and Corps of Engineer property, and they want to put it under the national park umbrella is what they want to do.
And so you had a statement that was kind of taken into account with, was it the Jersey paper? What
it was Jerseyville Jersey paper? Calhoun paper.
Okay.
Yes. So basically I tried to explain the missions of the different agencies, and I think once I explain everything, I think it'll make sense to everybody. But then, and I'm not knocking the National Park Service. I think they're a great organization. Mm-hmm. But their mission is to preserve the natural and cultural resources of our nation. And I gave a great example of that is Montezuma Castle National Monument. The Indian cliff dwellings in Arizona. That's a perfect example of preserving our history.
Right.
But, you know, I went on to say that the National Park Service has 84 million acres, and the budget is, their budget is $3.8 billion. So I'll kind of come back to that a little bit later. But the Fish and Wildlife's mission is to work with others to protect, conserve, and enhance fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. So the National Park Service, they just preserve. They're just going to let things grow up the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Fish and Wildlife Service, they try to enhance. They try to make things better. And that's what they've been working on for the last 75 years. Wetlands areas acquired with duck stamp money help purify water and aid in flood control, reduce soil erosion and sedimentation, and enhance outdoor recreation opportunities. That's what we have here, really.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also went on to explain the Corps' mission, and it's to deliver vital engineering solutions in collaboration with our partners to secure our nation, energize our economy, and reduce disaster risk. So during floods, they try to open the gates. They try to get the water down as quick as possible. Controlling that water level also is very important. And I don't think people realize it. They realize it for the barge traffic. They see a lot of barges going up and down the river.
Right.
But they also control that water level for endangered species.
Oh,
and they
wow.
work with Fish and Wildlife Service during certain times of the year to try to make sure that water level is a certain level for breeding habitats.
Oh, wow.
So the Corps and Fish and Wildlife Service work well together.
Oh, wow. I had no idea about
yeah.
that.
So anyway, the Corps has 4.3 million acres. So as you can tell, 84 million acres compared to 4.3 million acres that the Corps has. Actually, I'm sorry, it's 12 million acres of land. 4.3 is just designated for waterfowl. So their budget is $8.6 billion. So they have less land and a bigger budget than the National Park Service. So why would we want to turn our areas over to the National Park Service with a smaller budget? We're not doing our areas any favor by doing that. That's my biggest question.
Yeah. Well, on that, let's take a moment and take a break, hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and talk more about that. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. And with us, we have Mark Wagner, former DNR, current Jersey County board member. And we were wondering, with this national park proposal, why would we want this land here in Jersey and Calhoun counties to move from a budget that is maintained by the Corps of Engineers for a smaller amount of acreage and a larger budget over to the National Park Service, which has a vast amount of acreage and a much smaller budget? So why would that ever make sense?
I don't know. I have yet to figure that out. But, you know, going back to the mission statements too, I mean, as you can see, each agency has a different mission.
Right.
Each agency is very important. But in this case, it's just not a good fit for the area that we have. The Corps and the Fish and Wildlife Service work together, and by putting it under the National Park Service, you're just adding another level of bureaucracy.
Yes.
And it just doesn't work. Plus, you know, I know Pier Marquette needs some repairs. Anybody that's been down there, it's a beautiful park, but it is in need of some repairs. And they think that by going to a national park that might solve that issue. But
Oof.
The National Park Service is $22 billion behind in maintenance.
Oh.
And that's increased over the last 3 years from $13 billion. So again, how is turning that land over to the National Park Service going to make things better? It's not.
It sounds like, I mean, let's face it, Illinois has their own budgetary issues, but it would be kicking the can, rather than kicking the can down the road, it'd be, hey, let's kick this to federal to kick the can down the road.
Every agency, I don't care if it's the city, county, state, federal, everybody has their own budget issues.
Right.
I mean, that's just a fact. That's mm-hmm. just the way it goes. We're going through it right now. We're going to approve a budget by next month.
Okay.
We're working on the budget. I worked 5 hours on it today with some other board members.
Okay.
And we're going to get it done, but it's challenging. What is more important? And that's what you have to decide. And for the federal government, it looks like they've kind of kicked the National Park Service down the road because they're so far behind on their routine maintenance.
Right.
But anyway, by also making this a national park, everything that we have here that is now free, it doesn't matter if you're a hunter, a fisherman, a biker, hiker, eagle watcher, horseback rider, all that's free.
Right.
Once it becomes national park, they're going to charge you a fee just to get in the park.
Oh, really?
And then on top of that, you're going to have to get a permit for the activity that you want to do. If you want to hunt, if you want to duck hunt that area, you may be able to. But there's no duck blinds. They're taking out the duck blinds, which is totally unsafe. The older generation of people aren't going to be able to safely hunt in the weeds anymore. They're not as young as they used to be. And in the same token, those younger hunters that are 10 years old, it's not going to be safe to take them out. Hunting from duck blinds is a heritage. It's part of our heritage. Every year on Facebook, I see grandfathers, fathers, and grandsons hunting from a duck blind. You're going to lose that heritage if we take the duck blinds away. And right now, we have 13 areas just in Jersey and Calhoun County, 350 duck blinds, public duck blinds. And if that blind builder's not hunting, it's open to the public. Anybody can hunt that blind. Once there are certain rules for different areas. Some of them have check stations, some of them don't. But if nobody's hunting that blind, if the blind builder's not hunting, it's open to any hunter that wants to hunt it.
Is there a heritage that goes farther back than hunting? I mean, is there any activity, you know, memorable event that goes back farther than hunting?
I don't think so. It's something
that'd be impossible.
Yes.
Unless everybody...
We've been doing it since the beginning of time.
Right. So when you have a national park's mission to preserve, you know, heritage, that doesn't really play here, right? Because they're talking about more land masses, historical sites.
Well, again, they're preserving. They're not enhancing.
Right.
You know, by enhancing, by planting crops, by monitoring the water levels, we're producing a habitat that's good for wildlife.
So the years that they grow, you know, waterfowl, they grow millet or corn or anything in these refuges for the waterfowl, that just goes away.
That would go away, yes.
And so...
And it goes beyond waterfowl. Deer hunting. Right now, on our state areas, you can set up a deer stand, put your name and address on it, and you can leave it up all year long. Again, that would go away. At the end of every evening, you'd have to take it down. The next day you come back, you'd have to put it back up. And again, for your younger generations that are just getting into hunting, are they able to set up and take that deer stand down all the time? And again, your older generations, are they as nimble as they used to be? To me, it's a safety issue.
So how is it that, I'm just not buying it, Mark. That in the presentation that you attended as a Jerseyville County board member, did they talk about hunting and how it would possibly continue?
No, they stressed upon the economic impact that they thought it would have on the area. They think that it's going to have a great economic impact. And I think it's going to have the reverse effect.
They think that they're going to bring more hunters to the area by turning.
They think they're going to bring, they didn't say hunters, they just said they'd bring more tourists to the area. And like I said, I totally disagree. In my time of being a conservation officer, I was at Pier Marquette a lot during the summer times. Mm-hmm. That's where what we do. We do boat patrols and we patrol the state parks. And I saw people from all over the world at Pier Marquette State Park. So, again, I just don't see how tourism is going to be impacted that much.
How is it that people come here from all over? We got four guys coming in from Alaska this weekend to come hunting. How is it that people come from all over to Calhoun, Jersey counties to hunt? That's tourism right there.
Absolutely.
So they think they're going to increase that by limiting hunting opportunities and turning it over to bike trails?
Well, I'll follow up on what you said. You know, a lot of times outfitters bring in these people, but then they get to see the area. Maybe they'll visit a local restaurant. Maybe they'll drive down the road and say, wow, here's a state fish and wildlife area. We can hunt this for free. So they'll come back and maybe not hunt with that outfitter, but they'll come back and stay at maybe a bed and breakfast. They'll visit the restaurants. They'll keep coming back.
100%.
We'll lose that.
Well, it seems to me that this is all in the name of Alton, right? Alton wants this?
I won't say the city of Alton wants this. This is Alton Works. It's a private entity. So I don't want people to be mad at the city of Alton.
Okay. Okay.
It's a private entity. So all right. They're the ones that are pushing this.
Okay. Well,
but I'm going to follow up on how I think the reverse effects too. And it's like I said, it's just not about hunting. What about motorcycle riders? Tons of motorcycle riders come through Pier Marquette State Park. It's a beautiful drive. It's a 5 mile drive if you do a loop around there. It's a beautiful drive. If they got to pay $40, are they going to drive that? Or are they just going to keep going up towards? They're coming from Alton. Are they going to drive through the park? Or are they just going to keep going up to Eldred or further north to keep riding? Because if they drive through the park, they might stop at the lodge for lunch, for a beverage. And I think we're going to lose out on a lot of that because people aren't going to want to pay $40 just to go through and see that.
Well, then you got to also think about what kind of people are you attracting versus the type of people that are already coming. That being said, I want to talk more about this. Are you able to stick around? Talk
sure.
Some more? Okay. Well, that's all for today, folks. Thanks for listening. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Tune in next weekend, and we're going to be talking more about this stuff.